good morning or good afternoon, wherever you are. I'm Reverend Gail Dobert, and I welcome you to Unity of Bay City, to our wonderful podcast, Now What? Unity of Bay City is dedicated to all those who are seeking to discover their spiritual path and who strive every day to bring goodness and love into our beautiful world. How do we do that? We grow together as we discover and practice positive practical tools for our own personal and collective spiritual growth. No matter where you are on your life's journey, you are so very welcome here.
Hello and welcome to Now What. My name is Scott Love and I will be your host as we explore the interesting and magical world of Gail's mind. All right, so how are you doing today, Gail?
I'm better than I was a little while ago.
Excellent. Laughter. Yeah. Laughter is wonderful. Magical. Is. Yeah. Have you heard of laughter yoga?
Oh, I am a certified laughter yoga instructor.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I was introduced to it at a 3 days light gathering, and I saw these people go through this process where, you know, they looked at the facilitator and they're like, this guy is a little weird, but we'll do it anyhow. And they started with that.
Yeah, fake.
And then they looked at each other, and then within literally less than a minute, probably less than a minute and a half, they were rolling, laughing, and it was, and then I started finding out the science of it and how, you know, the endorphins, like when you laugh and what it does to your heart, mm-hmm. and what it does to bring oxygen into your body, that it literally is, laughter is the best medicine.
It truly is.
That's incredible. How did you get into laughter yoga?
When I was in ministerial school, myself and two of my friends went to Chicago. We heard about it. I saw a book about it and went to a training to be facilitators of it and the science behind it. It was started by a doctor, and he knew that laughter is the best medicine. It really is healing. So he wanted to make this little group. And so he and his wife and another doctor or something, they were like, okay, so let's tell jokes. And then they're like, well, that didn't really, because some jokes are really funny to somebody and they might insult somebody else. So they're like, okay, how can we do this? And so they just kept trying, and they just laugh, just start laughing. And just like what you demonstrated, you know, just kind of,
right.
And then you start get the feel of it. So some of the things that we did was, like when you're doing your daily chores, like vacuuming.
Right.
So we pretend like we're vacuuming and we laugh as we're vacuuming. Laugh as you're doing things that are mundane. Just by yourself, just laugh. So,
and it's good. Like the makes you live long, from what I've heard, live longer, less stress, less anxiety. Mm-hmm. But I've always wondered how they measured the whole they live longer thing. Is it like they had a blind study of 50 people, 25 of them laughed a lot.
Yeah, could probably. Yeah. That's how those studies go.
That's interesting.
But yeah, it feels silly at first, and that's part of the magic of it, you know, letting right. yourself be silly, even when you're by yourself.
Very good.
So
what's on your mind today? Yeah.
Well, now what?
Now
what's been on my mind?
And now what?
Yeah, now what? As I was thinking about that, because I love the name of our podcast, and I had introduced the term now what. I mean, it's not like nobody's ever said that. Usually a lot of people say what now, but mm-hmm. now what just is like you know, we're like, now what? But then I thought, what if we turn it into, now what?
Right.
Because like you just won $1 million and you go, now what? Now what do I do? Do I buy a big house? Now what?
Right.
You know, so it can be something positive. It doesn't always have to be like, because right now with our political scene and the fear that's running rampant in our country, we get into, oh my God, now what's going to happen? So what about now what? And another term that goes right along with that, that a friend of mine has a whole, we did a workshop with this on the term, what if? Oh, what if this goes wrong? What if that, you know, like insurance salesmen love the, what if you have that accident, you know?
Right.
And so, but she turned it to, what if it all goes right?
What if it all goes right?
She wrote a book, Mindy Odlin, and she's got a whole big following and they do really fun stuff together. But so it's not like being a Pollyanna, like looking always on the bright side,
right.
But there always is something to look at that you can lift your energy up, like laughter yoga, to pull yourself up out of the dregs of, oh, just now what am I going to do?
Right.
And say, well, now what opportunity do I have? So at Silent Unity, which is Unity World Headquarters prayer ministry that I was the director of for almost 10 years. And I would say, now what? And my response was to myself and have others say is, now pray.
Mm.
Now what? Well, now pray. We go there first. And when you say that, sometimes people are like, oh, brother, you know, as I roll there. But prayer, affirmative prayer is a core teaching of Unity.
Yeah.
And that's how the whole thing started. Affirming what it is you want, not beseeching and begging a deity in the sky, that there isn't a deity in the sky. There is an energy field of love, and you can call it God if you want it to feel personal,
right?
Or whatever you want, or Jesus, or Buddha, or Krishna. You know, Ernest Holmes, the creator of Science of Mind, religious science, he said the universe responds to us by corresponding. So it's our correspondence. So the energy that we're emitting, if it's negative or worrisome or all the negative things you can think of, the universe is going to support you in that. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, so maybe more negative things start keep showing up, or you're, you know, you're feeling less than prosperous, and you affirm that, you know, I just don't have any money. I don't have enough money. I don't have.
Right.
And the universe is going to say, okay, will support you in not having enough money.
It's very interesting that we're having this conversation this morning, because just last night I introduced a friend of mine to, it just came up in conversation, and I was like, oh, say, so you haven't seen that? And she's like, nope. I'm like, well, let's see if we can find it on somewhere. So we found it on this really cool app. I didn't even know it existed, called Plex, like Cineplex, but Plex. It's a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
And so we looked up The Secret, and we were watching it, and there was always a part of The Secret that, you know, and they touched on all these things we're just talking about, you know, like energy and affirming our thoughts and, you know, rewriting our story and all that stuff. But there was always something that was missing. Like they showed like the three steps to living out The Secret. One of them was ask.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was receive. No, visualize. And then the third one was receive. And a lot of people, I think, kind of got caught up, because that was a huge hit, the book,
oh, it was.
The movie. But there was always something missing. And it always seemed like there was people running around like sheeps looking up at the sky waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part that they missed. I believe that there's two things. And this is just my own addition to it. It could be great for a lot of people, but in my life, it kind of like omitted doing the work, you know, just ask and get ready to receive. And it's like, the way I always thought about it is God will give you the map, and God will give your spirit, will give you knowledge of what the treasure might be, but you still have to do the work, you know?
Right.
And prayer is a part of that work.
Prayer is a core of that work, and it comes in many different forms.
Yeah.
Prayer does. Affirmative prayer really is at the heart of even meditation practices and quiet contemplation. But I think the thing that The Secret did, and why it got so many people excited about it, it was out way before I went to ministerial school. But
2006, I think.
I went to ministerial school in 2007. When I was being interviewed, they said, well, what did you think about The Secret? And I said, I think it's a primer.
Yeah.
For a new thought for metaphysics. You know, it was a primer, and it got people excited. But even just saying ask that's not really what we're doing. We're affirming it. I am, I have, I am this. And so the ask is kind of a gray area. Who are you asking?
Right.
Because we were born with all of these talents. We were born with all of these capabilities to create. The creator, the universal intelligence, God, if you want to call it that, which is sometimes God triggers people in negative ways and right. sometimes it's positive. So what by whatever name, it was this amazing intelligence that made us to be creators. Not up there pulling all the strings right. because it is the creator. God is the only creator. That wisdom that we're born with said, you're the creators.
So it's more like claim than ask.
Yeah, claim.
Claim.
Claim your truth. Claim your whatever.
Right. The rest of it, though, I thought was pretty on point. And one part that he did, there was a gentleman, and I can't remember his name, he did speak to the actual doing the work part of it. But he did it in an indirect way. He was speaking about this vision board that he had created mm-hmm. years before realizing he mm-hmm. was living in the house that was on his vision board. And I thought that was a neat story. I'd like to research and find out.
Vision boards are really helpful
yeah.
because, you know, we're very visual, you know, some people more than others. You know, I like the visual part of things and I like to write and but no, that's a good tool. There's a lot of these amazing spiritual tools and right. you just need to discover them. But then the key to it is to use it.
To do the work.
When you're, do the work.
Chop
yeah.
wood, carry water.
That's right.
And I actually brought this point up to the person I was watching with last night and she was like, so that's that faith without works is dead part. I'm like, that's exactly right. You can believe all these things. Mm-hmm. You know, you can believe that the grocery store has the food that you need. And you can believe that maybe somebody will come by and drop it off on your front porch exactly how you want it. Or you can get off the couch, put your key in the ignition, drive there, get it yourself, bring it back home.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't put the food in the refrigerator, but you sure brought it home or from to the store. Uh-huh. But you sure brought it home from the store.
Of course, nowadays, Scott, you can go. The grocery store will deliver it to your door.
But you still have to do some work. You, have to
you do. You have computer. To. You have to get on the computer. And
yeah.
You're right. You have to do. We have to do our work. And I tell folks all the time, little and often.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, there's a period of your day that you can fit in something that's deeper and yeah. longer. But and some people. Write, you know, journal and love that. I don't particularly mm-hmm. like to do that, but to have a mantra of sorts, to have affirmations handy, you know, that are my go-to if I'm having a really bad day or something's not going right, where do I go with it?
When you say that phrase little and often, it started probably about a month ago because I've heard you say that probably in every conversation we've had,
mm-hmm.
even if it's just kicking it in your office about things.
Mm-hmm.
I often think of like the stone and the drip of water, where the stone may seem hard and you're like, how is this drop of water going to affect that stone? But if you put that stone in a place where that drip of water is just going to constantly drip, 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 little and often, eventually it's going to wear through that stone.
It will.
Yeah. It also makes me think of that Made a Difference for That One story about the boy and his father are walking along the beach. Have you heard the story? And there's a bunch of little sand dollars on the beach.
Uh-huh.
And the kid's excited. And he's like, Dad, what's going on with these sand dollars? And he goes, well, they get washed up on the shore during the tide. Or they come up in the tide. And then when the tide goes out, they get stuck. And they dry in the sun. You've seen them. You know, you see them in the little shops.
Yeah.
And the kid's like starts freaking out. And he starts picking them up. And he starts throwing them back in the water. And you know, he's like trying to save all the and the son and the father's like, boy, you know, it's not going to make a difference. It's happening all over the place. There's thousands of them, and he looks at the dad and he picks up another one. He throws it in the water and he says, "Well, I made a difference for that one."
Oh.
And I was like, "That's pretty cool."
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So little and often.
Little and often, the little things we do, and the thoughts that we think that either erode our existence here on this planet or on certain areas of our life, or they lift us up. And so when we pay attention to our thoughts. And that's why we take time, little and often, and in longer periods. What was I thinking about today? What thought kept running through my mind and running through my mind like a rut? We get into a thought rut. And that's if it's a positive, and meaning that if it's uplifting, because you say positive and negative, people are like, oh, you know, positive thinking. Well, I know that positive thinking is very powerful. And if that doesn't float your boat, you know, then it's more of a, is this meaningful and helpful and uplifting in my life, what I'm thinking and what I've thought all day, or when I get mad at somebody and I just berate them in my head over and over again, or get mad at myself, how is that enriching my life? Is it enriching my life? What's going to be the outcome of that? What's going to be the outcome of that?
So you say stuck in a rut with our thoughts. And I actually saw this video. It might have been a speaker, a guy who was talking about neural pathways in our brain.
Oh, yeah.
And if you follow this, it's like neural pathways are kind of like a path along the trail. If you don't tend to it, it's going to get overgrown. It'll be harder to run through it again. So it actually is stuck in a rut when we're thinking. And if we're always thinking this, because the neural pathway is going to follow the path of least resistance, the pathway that's already been cleared. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's going to just going to automatically go into that pattern that leads to the next thought. And that's why it is kind of difficult shaping our mind into thinking new thoughts, because we're literally creating a new trail in our mind.
We are. So, and it takes repetition, and it takes repetition, and it takes repetition.
It takes repetition.
And it's the body always takes the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
Because like if you have an abscessed tooth, it's going to find a way out, and it's usually out your cheek. And it's just going to find some place where it can escape because of the pressure when you have an abscess. But Joe Dispenza, Greg Braden, they're powerful. Joe Dispenza really brought the creating new neural pathways to, like The Secret did for affirmative prayer. It's powerful stuff. There's one little book. It's a little book. It's in four chapters by Portia Nelson.
Okay.
A Hole in My Sidewalk.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
It's so great because she walks down the sidewalk and there's a hole and she falls in, and it takes her forever to get out, just stuck in there.
Mm-hmm.
So then she goes down the street in the next chapter two, and she goes down the same sidewalk, falls in the hole, and it takes her less time to get out. So in the third chapter, she walks down the sidewalk and walks around the hole. Then in the fourth chapter, she goes down a different street.
Yeah, that's right.
So those kind of little ditties, you know, help us grasp what we're doing. But truly, the spiritual practice, and you don't even have to call it spiritual practice, but our neuro pathways, our heart, our mind, all culminates into what shows up in our life.
Right.
And so when we can take time to pay attention to our thoughts, and, you know, when my kids started driving and stuff, I didn't say, be careful, because my father said that all the time. Mm-hmm. Be careful. He was very, you know.
Put you on more on that.
Yeah, trying to, he was worried for our safety, so we were. But I'd say, okay, where are you going? You know, okay, all right, pay attention. I love you. Have fun. That was our family. You don't leave the house unless you say that.
Yeah.
So pay attention to the traffic around you. Pay attention to, are you distract, your thoughts distracting you? What are those thoughts that are distracting you? So if we take time after a busy day or even a quiet day to sit and just be with the thoughts and just, what did I think? What was I thinking of that? How come I thought about that so much today? What's that about? And that's your inquiry. And then you can say, I am a calm and quiet person. You know, I am in control of my thoughts.
Right.
Those kinds of things, you can kind of get in there and create that other sidewalk.
A good segue thought to be, like when you have that moment of realization that something's off or something's on,
uh-huh.
Then you can say, now what?
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to bring it back.
No, you're absolutely right. Now what? Perfect. That can be our entry into shifting to the other sidewalk and shifting those neural pathways. Now what? And so if you start going down, oh my gosh, now what am I going to do? And now what am I going to do? Let's see, what are my options? What are the options I don't even know about yet? So that's where the ask or the affirmation of, I see and know all my options, and I choose the very best one for me.
Kind of like playing a pool in a way. You know, if you just run down to the table and you just shoot away aimlessly, your balls are going to fly all over the place. But if you can take the time to stop and look at all the different angles and what happens if you hit it here, if you have the time. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now what's my shot? Now what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see. Okay, I'm going to aim up on this cue ball, and I'm going to, you know, yeah.
I could take all the time in the world, and I'd still miss the ball, the pocket or something.
Right. Well, again, that's where practice comes in, right?
Exactly. Then you practice. And it's like, okay, I'm going to practice this until I'm really good at it, and then I don't have to worry about it anymore. That's not quite the way it works, because our life changes. Yeah. With every breath, our whole body changes. And so we get to play in the field of all possibilities, mm-hmm. which is a Rumi thing, you know, out beyond right doing and wrong doing. There's a field, and I'll meet you there.
Mm.
So we mind that gap and create the life that we want. Not wish for, not hope for, but create.
Right on.
So we say, now what? Now what am I going to create today?
Very good. So yeah, now what? This is good stuff. Anything new happening around here?
Well, we're going to have a women's retreat, the Wonder of Women, in September.
Mm-hmm.
So we are planning that. So stay tuned for information on that.
Women's retreat.
Yeah, we've got another drumming circle happening here this week, I believe. And so, yeah, check out our website. There's lots of really amazing things. Marianne Jordan's going to be doing another class on the human energy field.
Nice.
And so, yeah, lots going on.
Had a good time interviewing her last time.
Yeah.
You ever hear how women got to be called women?
Mm-mm.
So, you know, God made Adam first.
And not.
I know,
I'm kidding.
Maybe he didn't make him first, but anyhow, he's gathered all his angels, and he's got all his little dudes running around, and he gets them all in the big amphitheater in the sky, and everyone's really excited because he's about to unveil his new creations. So there's like a drum roll, and then there's a hush over the crowd, and all of a sudden God comes floating across, and behind him is like, you can see like the outline shape of a body underneath a silken drape.
Uh-huh.
And it's just floating behind him. And God stands in front of everyone. And the board comes floating next to him. You can see the shape. And he's like, all right, everyone, I got you here together because I just created what I think is the most amazing, exquisite, beautiful creature I've ever made in life. In all of my existence. But it's so beautiful, I'm having a hard time naming it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you guys for your input. He waves his hand, and the drape falls, and there's this goddess, and all the angels and Adam are like, whoa, man.
That's good.
All right. And on that note, Gail, thank you so much. Much love. Any parting thoughts?
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for being here, being a great host, and moving us along through our, and as we ask, now what?
Now what? All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here and listening. If you have a minute, please click that subscribe button and like this video or recording that you're listening to. It really does a lot. Every time you click it, it's telling the aneurysm. Every time you click algorithm. It's telling the algorithm that there's interest, and that helps. Also, head over to www.unityofbaycity.com if you'd like to find out information about upcoming events, and if you'd like to make a contribution to help fulfill the mission of Unity of Bay City. There's a place on there where you can make a contribution or donation. And as always, thank you so much. Much love, and we'll catch you next time.